Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to talk to creator, star, producer, everything, at Edie Brown. And Edie, her show is called Sidetracked, and she's also done all kinds of stuff. She's an actress. She's done all kinds of things. We'll talk about that too. She's been on the show before. She's very talented, and I'm very happy to have her here. Hi, Edie. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for such a generous intro.
Well, it's true.
But it's very kind of you, so I definitely thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You've been busy. You've been doing so much.
Yeah.
In this year. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, we've been busy. We're back into shooting our last four episodes of Sidetrack, so we've just been really busy getting that done.
Yeah, I mean, I loved the first part. It was so great.
Oh,
I loved
you.
It.
Thank you so much.
Adrian Wilkinson, who is a friend of the show, she's been on here several times. She was one of the people who gave my show a chance when I didn't even know what I was doing. She's one of the stars of your show, and she's amazing. And
she is.
Why don't you tell? You're an actress. How did this come about? Where did the idea come from? We didn't really get into that when you were on the show before.
Oh right. So the idea of the show came about where I was just looking around at different shows. You know, as an actor. I was looking at different shows and realizing that there was nothing really that I really truly identified with, or people that I knew who were actors identified with either. And so I'm also a writer, and I just decided, you know what, I'm going to write something that I feel really rings true for the people who I love and care for, and also the people who are part of my, I guess, for lack of a better term, squad. And so I wrote the show, and I was really lucky to just get an amazing cast right off the bat that said yes. And from then we kind of just hit the ground running. But yeah, the show was just really a labor of love at first. And we had a reading of the show. And once we were done reading all 12 episodes of the show, the cast kind of went, so when do we start shooting? And my brain was like, oh, I was just checking to make sure all the jokes landed. And they're like, no, it works. Let's go. And so that's how the show started. But yeah, it was just really a labor of love. And I wanted to see my friends who are actors in the best light possible, and often in lights that they're not seen. For example, I know Adrian often kind of plays this tough woman. She's done it on so many different shows, on Xena, on Star Trek, where she's, you know, this leader of a battleship. And I'm like, Adrian's actually really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if a lot of people know that. So it was really exciting and fun for me to give her a character where she could just be funny. And it's what's really funny about it is that she's my mom's favorite character. So my mother doesn't even like me the most in the show. She likes Adrian. So anytime I talk about this show with my mom, she's always like, oh, that character, Jess, I just love her. She's so funny. And she, like, never, ever talks about me.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I guess she relates
yeah.
to that character a lot, you know? When she was younger.
Yeah, it's really funny because, you know, like people when they're watch Sex and the City and they're like, oh, are you a Samantha? Are you a Carrie? Are you a this or that? That often happens with our show. People are like, oh, are you a Jess? Are you a Vance? Are you a this character? Are you a that character? And so it's really fun to see how people relate to different storylines of the four characters.
That is really fun. Did you... when you were writing it, you said you looked around at your own friends and stuff. Are they composites of people you know, or is it just based on ideas of like character types? How did you mold the characters?
It's all of the above. So a lot of it is different stories that I've heard from friends. Some of it's parts of my life. Some of it's straight from the imagination. Some of it's ideas that I'm like, oh, you know, it would be really fun to address this and see how this feels. So it's a bit of all of the above. When I started writing the show, I was on tour with Stomp. And so I was kind of traveling all over Europe at the time. And so when you're on tour, you spend a lot of time with people in your cast, and you're just telling stories and talking about what happened the night before, or different things that happened in your life. And in general, I'm not a talker, I'm a listener. So I just would kind of absorb those different experiences and be like, oh, that's interesting. That would be funny. Oh, this would be actually really funny if it turns out like this instead. And so that's how it kind of, this different situations came about.
That reminds me, I was watching a special about Agatha Christie, and she was really shy. And her grandson says she was very non-obtrusive, but the reason she used to get such great dialogue was that she would have paper and pen in her purse and just kind of inside her purse scribble out some of the dialogue she was hearing around her. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really funny. So I do two different things. I have small notebooks all around my house, all around my car. And then the other thing I do is I use my cell phone, and I know other people do this too, but the voice memo on your cell phone, if I get an idea, I just talk it into my phone. And then often I'll do dialogue that way on my phone. I'll just literally talk to myself on my phone, and I'll record it that way. And then later on, I'll transcribe it.
I was working on a play, one of the radio plays for our show, and a guy was working on our heater, and I started having this really intense Skype session with another person who was also in it, and I hadn't tasked everybody yet, so he and I were just going through it, and it was like an argument scene, so when we finished, we said goodbye, and we came back out to check on the guy, and he... Did you have an argument with your boyfriend or something?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I've heard of different, like when actors are rehearsing scenes in their apartment, that they've had like cops come before, and they're like, no, we're just rehearsing a scene, we promise. Because, you know, sometimes those scenes can get pretty intense.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing I always wonder about, one of the things I'm working on is like a thriller, and it takes place in the Middle East. And I pull stuff for research. You know, in the old days when I was young, it was you just got your encyclopedia or you went to the library. Now it's all Google and, you know, Instagram and looking things up online. So you're wondering, I wonder what Homeland Security thinks.
It's true. You do wonder about stuff like that, like, because, you know, obviously with the government, quote unquote, checking on our Google searches and stuff, or different writers who have to, like, you know, especially the ones who, like, maybe work for SUV, you know, those shows like that. And you're like, how do, you know, pedophiles do this, or how does blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, oh my goodness, if someone thinks this is my actual Google search and not me doing research for writing or for a different role, this could be dangerous.
I know. And like, I was like, I had to stop and think about this after a while. I was doing, did ISIS destroy this archaeological site, and did ISIS destroy that archaeological site? And then
I thought, yes.
Oh my God, what are they thinking? And then,
oh no, yeah, no, that I can understand how that could be a little suspect. But you're like, no, I promise, I'm doing my work, I'm doing research.
Because
but luckily I do comedy, so I haven't had to do that yet.
I mean, if you have a character there, you can't have a character someplace where it's destroyed. So I was actually checking to make sure it was okay, so I could set it in the scene there, and then I was thinking, oh my God. So now, if anybody from Homeland Security is listening, now you know I'm writing a book off
yeah.
the scroll.
You're like, don't flag me. Don't flag me. It's all good.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's the world we live in. And it used to be you wanted, like I said, you wanted to look something up. You went to the library. I spent 95% of my time when I was in college in the library. Actually,
right.
I really liked
And to, let me tell you something right now, and to anyone who is listening, please support public libraries. I live in Los Angeles, and I was in Santa Monica last week, and so I had 2 hours. I teach dance classes also because I used to be a dancer. In order to feed that dancer still inside of me, I teach dance classes. So I was in between teaching 2 dance classes on Friday. So I went to the public library to write. And I know a lot of people go to different spaces like coffee shops and different things. But I was like, oh, let me go to the public library. The Santa Monica Public Library is maybe one of the nicest places I have ever been to write in my life. And I was like, oh, right, the library. So anyone who's listening who wants like a quiet space to either check emails or write or to, you know, obviously just to do what you're supposed to do at a library, like check out books. I don't think in this modern day we use the library for everything that it's useful for, but for the hours I was there, it was absolutely heaven.
But it's wonderful to just be able to get anything you want. I mean, you cannot own every book and every reference that you want. You can go to
no.
the library and get it.
Yeah, and I think it's also funny because, you know, with different services like Audible and iTunes for, like, doing audiobooks, at the library you can rent audiobooks for free. So there's just all these resources that we don't use, I don't think, by using the public library. But I am... once again, like the biggest cheerleader of the library.
I've always loved the library since I was a kid. We even had,
yeah.
They don't do this anymore. I grew up in LA. They used to have a mobile van that used to go to the suburbs and you get books, you check out books, and then they come back like the next week and you return the book. And I was like, 8, 9, just beginning my reading, I would get stacks of books, sometimes beyond my
yeah.
ability to read, but it's like this big candy land.
When we were young, and obviously it was a different time, but my mother would literally drop us off at the library for like an hour or an hour and a half, and she would maybe go to the grocery store and then come back and pick us up, but also at the, you know, we would go to the kids book reading session or whatever. We were probably around 10 at the time, 10, 13, and my younger sister, so 7. And we would spend at least an hour to 2 hours at the library, and we would check mm-hmm. out books, read books, do whatever the planned programming for kids for the day was at the library. So, I mean, that it's part of why I do enjoy reading so much. But, I'm definitely a cheerleader, and if any of your listeners haven't been in a while, go. Just go on a Saturday or Sunday and just kind of be amazed at all the things that the library offers.
And you know you can get movie videos, like real movies, whatever movie you like, at the library for free.
Exactly.
You just use your card. Yeah. You don't have to go to a video store, download. You can just go and take it for a week or what? I think it's 14 days, and
yeah.
You have your movie, and you can watch as much as you want, and you can recheck it out if you want, you know.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Absolutely.
I'm a big advocate. Library is, they also have book clubs and reading groups and children's workshops and. There's so
mm-hmm.
much, and some of them even have, like, museums where they have, like, a lot
yep.
of archaeological things or historical things. And I remember when I first moved to San Diego and I went to the one downtown, they had a whole exhibit of old LPs. Those are records. They're like big black licorice style record things that we used to listen to back in the olden days. but they
well,
have those.
I have a nephew, and we've been getting him into records, and he thinks they're the funniest thing. They're like, "This is so big." Like,
exactly.
Sit it on that thing and watch it spin. He's like, "This is amazing."
Yeah. I know. And you can get, you can pick any tune you want. You just put it in the right place.
Yeah. It takes a little bit of skill, but you could do it. Yeah, he thinks records are hilarious.
Yeah, I'm glad, you know. And I have nothing against CDs or anything like that. But the thing is, the artwork for an LP album is so intensely beautiful. Like the old artwork that they used to have for books is,
yeah,
they're just gorgeous. I mean, they were real artists, and that's coming back for both books and records, and I think that's amazing.
It's wonderful. Yeah, I love that the records are coming back, and I actually bought a record player the other day, and I love going to, in LA where I live near a store called the Record Parlor. So they often have these sales where if you buy $10 of records in the main store, you get access to this back room where you can get as many records as you want for free. And the problem is like you literally spend hours thumbing through all the different albums back there. And they're mostly really vintagey albums, which is fine with me, but you just spend your whole day just thumbing through the different albums from the 50s and 60s. And I'm sure there are albums in there that are actually worth money and are rare vintage finds that, you know, my novice, you know, record collector brain doesn't know about. But it's such a wonderful afternoon on those days. You know, I'll spend 2 or 3 hours there just finding different finds.
Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
It's just like I went to, I think it was downtown, and they had, here in San Diego, and they had this antique store, and they had like a thing of old records, quote unquote. It was the 70s record, so it wasn't that old to me. and I'm like, original Aerosmith and original first recording of the Doors and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, do you guys know what this is? Because they were selling
it
for like
brilliant. That's just
$3 or $4. Like,
right.
This is
weird. That's so good. Yeah, whenever I go, I get, like, the vintage, because I love, like, vocal jazz records, so the, you know, the U.S. canon, the Western canon, so anything like Dinah Washington or Ella Fitzgerald, Judy Garland, any of that kind of stuff, that's what I'm looking for, because that stuff on vinyl, to me, is priceless. And as you're saying, also just the artwork of it. So often, you know, I have some that I have framed, and I put it up in my apartment, but vocally, that's my ears just love those tunes and that sound. So that's where I go whenever I can get to those record stores.
Doris Day, when she was young, singing Day by Day, or My Secret Love, or the way she sang was just amazing.
Yeah, and I also feel it's not only the way, like, those singers sang, it's also that lyrically they had so much to work with. They had such, and I'm actually using a phrase that Adrian Wilkinson says all the time, but they had such yummy words that it just makes the ear really just want to, like, take it in. And so I think vocally they had so much to work with. Because the lyricists, as well as the musicianship on those tunes, were amazing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's one thing I love. I was brought up to love all music. That's the way my parents brought me up. I love. I have all kinds of different tastes, but one of my favorite composer lyricists is Cole Porter, because
yes,
he has
yes.
that yummy that you were talking about.
Exactly. It's he. I mean, in spades. That he just everything he touched was just it was amazing.
Yeah, I just. I mean, I think one of the reasons, one of my favorite movies from the late 70s was Evil Under the Sun, was because it was all Cole Porter. it has this great cast, and all I can really remember when before I saw it again recently was, it's all Cole Porter music.
It's all Cole Porter music. But you know, the funny thing is, as you're talking about that, my introduction to When Harry Met Sally wasn't the movie, it was the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's all, you know, Harry Connick Jr. remaking old songs. But I remember literally listening to that soundtrack constantly, 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 and then being like, oh, there's a movie that it's from. And then going back later and watching the movie. So sometimes, you know, depending on what your entrance is to a form of entertainment, it could be the movie gets you into the music, or the music gets you into the movie, or however it works. But you know, good writing is good writing.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that Rob Reiner kind of inherited a little bit of that from his daddy.
You think?
You think? And for those of you who don't know, Rob Reiner's dad was Carl Reiner, who wrote the Dick Van Dyke Show and bunch of movies and TV shows. He was brilliant. Still is. He's still around, 90-something.
Yeah, there's actually a picture that came out. I think it was like him, Dick Van Dyke, Norman Lear, and there's one other person in that picture. There's four people in that picture. And they're all in their 90s.
Oh, Mel Brooks.
Spanning, I think, between 90s. Yeah, yes, thank you, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
And they're,
yeah.
I think they're all between like 92 and 96. You know that you're familiar with the picture, and you're literally
uh-huh.
like, oh, that's comedic genius in a picture.
Genius. Yeah, just genius.
Yeah.
I can't think of anybody more genius than Mel Brooks. All four of them are genius, but Mel is the top of the genius pile.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw that. Did you know that they play poker every week?
Well, when are they inviting us?
I know.
Or more importantly,
like,
that needs to be a
sandwiches.
TV show. Yeah, I would bring the snacks. I don't even have to play. I'll just be in the back. But
yeah.
If there was ever to be a reality TV show on, like, the AMC channel, that would be it. The poker table with those four guys, just listening to the stories and the different jokes that are probably going back and forth. I'd watch that all day.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing? Ugh,
yeah,
I would
it would be great.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
The four of them.
And I'm pretty sure there's probably too many cigars and too much whiskey, and it would be amazing.
A lot of smoking.
that would be okay.
But that's okay. They're geniuses, so it's okay.
Yeah.
And
they're in their 90s, so they're obviously doing something right.
And Carl and Mel were both on your show of shows. They both were writers on your show of shows. Well, Carl acted and wrote, but Mel was one of the writers for your show of shows. So this is the genius of them. My God.
Yeah.
I need to do a segue. You are doing the last four episodes, and you guys have Kickstarter. I think it's Kickstarter. Isn't it Kickstarter that you're doing to help with
Yeah, we're doing, actually it's not a Kickstarter, it's a Seed and Spark campaign. And Seed and Spark was started by these two female filmmakers, and it's basically a crowdfunding website for filmmakers and they really promote diversity on this page. So it's about promoting and crowdfunding for independent filmmakers, be it filmmaking or digital series making or different platforms like that. And so, yeah, we're currently crowdfunding for those last four episodes on Seed and Spark, and we're super excited about it. And it's a really wonderful platform. And if people are interested, our campaign, if you go to Seed and Spark, it's sidetracked. But also if other people who are listening are trying to, are independent filmmakers or independent storytellers in general, Seed and Spark is a really great place to look to get your funding and to start funding for your storytelling series or film. And they also distribute on that site as well.
Wow. That is really, they distribute.
Yeah, they
so
distribute
once you get funded,
on the site
they help
as well.
You distribute?
Yeah, they do. And they have fun incentives. So, for example, and this is all literally from you have to watch videos and take different courses, but they have an 80% success rate in getting their and funding for their shows that are used on that platform, where other crowdsourcing sites have between like 11 and 20%. They have an 80% rate. And they have other incentives, like if you get 250 followers, you get discounts on gear rental and entries to different film festivals and different stuff like that. So they have incentives like that as well. And then if you do get funded and get a certain amount of followers, as I said, you can also distribute on their website.
That is amazing. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really great.
So it's Seed and Spark, and you look under Sidetracked. And that's S-I-D.
Seed and Spark and R.
Sorry.
Yeah, S-I-D-E-T-R-A-C-K-E-D. Sidetracked. And then that's where you can find the series. And the video is me, so you can see what I look like and not just my voice.
And could you tell who the character is and who the actress who plays each of the characters?
Yeah, so we have four main characters in the show. I play one character. Her name is Evelyn, and she is a struggling actress in L.A. who is really – and her main job is as personal assistant, and I like to say she's really good at fixing other people's lives and really bad at her own. And then Adrienne Wilkinson stars as a woman. Her name is Jess. And she is a writer who's currently out of work. Her show has been canceled. Her life is kind of upended. She's a type A personality who really likes to have everything organized. And currently her life is completely in shambles. She's trying to find out if she's pregnant or not, as well as being unemployed. And then we have Lee, who's played by the fabulous Tracy Toms. Who's been in a lot of different shows. Most people know Tracy from Rent. She was in the movie Rent. And she plays a woman who is happily married, who is about to have an affair. And she doesn't know if she's going to have the affair to keep her job or if she's just kind of bored with her life in the routine that it is. And then our last character, his name is Vance, and he is played by the fabulous Jim Holdridge. And he is a man who has found himself in a relationship with a younger man, and he doesn't know if the gentleman is in love with him or in love with his money. So that's kind of the four different characters. And each episode concentrates on a different character. So, for example, episode one would be about me. Episode two would be about Lee, who Tracy Tom plays. Episode three would be about Jess, who Adrienne Wilkinson plays, and episode four would be about Vance, who Jim Holdridge plays. But each episode is intertwined with every other episode, so you're constantly learning different things about each character, even though each episode concentrates on one character specifically. I hope that makes sense.
It does. I have a question. This is how I saw it. The viewpoint of each episode is the person who it's concentrating on, and it's your viewpoint of the other characters. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's the way I saw it.
So for example, like if me and you were having this conversation, so episode one would be about me, we would have this conversation that we're having now, and then after we hang up, we would continue on with my day. And then episode two would be about you, what happened to you before this conversation. And then we would have this conversation, but through your point of view, and then we would continue on with your point of day. Then you would have a conversation or somehow meet up with the third character, and then it would go on from there.
Makes sense. And
yeah.
The other four episodes, is it like starting all over again with your viewpoint? And you don't have to give any spoilers.
So,
curious.
Oh, yeah. No, so the first four episodes, I like to say, are the morning. The middle four episodes are the late afternoon. And the final four episodes, which is what we're currently crowdfunding for, it's the evening. So every fourth episode starts back at that first character.
Okay. That makes sense. So it's like you're getting the viewpoint of each of the people, the four people morning, four people afternoon, and four people evening.
Exactly. Exactly.
And if this works out and you get all your episodes made, are you going to, like, distribute it to one of the big things like Netflix or Prime Video?
Yeah, the goal would be
Porn
to sell it.
Whatever.
Yeah, so the show, the way the show is set up because of the four episodes, it's really, really the most fun to watch when it's binged. So you can watch. The idea is to be able to watch four episodes at a time. That's the best way to watch it. I mean, if you watch all 12, it's great, but you at least want to watch four so you can get that whole chunk of information at one time. So we would ideally distribute it on a platform that allows you to distribute more than one episode at a time. So something like a Netflix, Amazon Prime, I know Hulu's been doing it. There's a bunch of different Apple's doing it now. They have their own channel, and obviously Facebook has its own channel now. So there's a lot of different places that we can then distribute it on where we can put all 12 episodes up for everyone to either, you know, if you want to watch it one episode at a time, that's fine, four or either all 12 at a time. So it's just all season one will be up, and then you can decide how you watch it. Yeah.
Are you going to also be on iTunes?
Yeah, ideally, we haven't gone that far yet. Right now, we're literally just trying to finish the 12, and then we'll figure out distributing and which platforms we're going to be on.
Okay. It is curiosity on my part. Sorry.
Yeah, no, of course. I love that curiosity, and actually, it makes us really excited because we've had a really good reception to our first 8 episodes, and people have often asked us, like, where is this going to be, and why isn't this on Netflix? Why isn't this on Amazon Prime? I would totally watch it on these platforms. And so that makes us happy that the writing is there, that the acting is there, our production quality is there, that it can be seen on those platforms. So, you know, we really love when people are like, where is it? Where is it going to be? Is it going to be on this? And when they name it, it's on a reputable platform, and that makes us really happy.
That is really super, though. I mean,
yeah.
I've only heard people say good stuff from the original ones you've already made, so I know it's going to be a big hit. That's my visual projection for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. We've been... you know, I don't like to use the word lucky so much as fortunate and blessed that I've had a cast and a crew that really feels like a family at this point. And we put out a product that we honestly are really proud of. And I'm just so happy that they keep saying yes. Like, people just keep saying yes to making the show happen. The actors keep coming back. The crew keeps coming back. And then on top of that, the family keeps growing. And I've had people be like, how can I get on your show? Or can you write me a character in? Or I just want to come in and can you put me in and just to say a couple of jokes? And to me, that's just really wonderful. And it kind of says that we're on the right track. And I'm really proud of that.
That's really a compliment that people want to be written in.
Yeah, it's been really fun to just have. I just literally because in Los Angeles, it's a lot of, I don't know if people know the acting life. I know it feels really glamorous when you see it from the outside, but it's a lot of rejection and it's a lot of no's. and then occasionally you get some yeses. And so just the idea that a lot of people have been saying yes is just really, really heartwarming and really wonderful, and it really just keeps us going. And so that's why we're trying to finish these last four. We're doing this crowdfunding to just finish these four so we can just keep saying yes and putting out this product that we're really proud of.
I hope it works. I do. I'm pretty sure it will.
Yeah.
I'm confident that it will.
So far, so good. Yeah, we have two more weeks left, so far, so good. We're on the right track, and we're just going to keep pushing and promoting, and we've been doing, like, little parties and fundraisers, and we have some really great incentives for people on the crowdfunding site, everything from just, like, a shout-out on our social media to all the way up to, you know, dinner with the cast. So we have some really great incentives for people. So we're going full steam ahead.
I haven't looked. Are you at midpoint now? How are you doing on your funding?
Oh, yeah. So we've been up for like a week and a half, and we're 30% funded right now. So, yeah,
great.
we're on the track. Yeah. We're right in
That's
the track
really
where
good.
We're supposed to be. Yeah. We're just doing the things that we're supposed to do. Like I said, we're doing reaching out to people. We're doing different fundraising events. We've had a couple of meet and greet parties. We've had a couple, like I said, I teach dance classes. So we've had a couple of dance class parties and different things where people can actually come and see us and interact with us, the cast, the crew. So you can see that we are accessible and that this is a team effort, and that what you're putting your contribution to is not like something that you can't tangibly grasp, you know, because often I feel like people for crowdfunding, they just give their money and they don't know where it's going to. But with this show, you know, it's literally going to the show. It's going to the lights. It's going to the camera. It's going to like getting the sound equipment, very tangible. And then you can come and actually hang out with us and meet us if you're in Los Angeles or different things like that.
Cool. And this is sort of off track. I mean, this is what we're focusing on, but what else is happening for you? Do you have other shows coming up that you want to talk about?
I'm doing a lot of writing, actually. So because this show is technically written, the first season is technically written. And so, right, as I said, we're in the process of pre-production for to finish the last four episodes. So that part of my life is taken up with that. So, yeah, I'm doing a lot of writing. I'm writing, I call it a non-rom-com, so a non-romantic romantic comedy. But it's really fun to say non-rom-com. So I call it The Source. So I've been doing rewrites on that, and that's been really fun. We've had a couple of readings of it. And so, you know, for people who don't know, a reading is where once you finish the script, you usually get a cast together and have them read your script. And for the writer, you're looking for different things like, do your jokes land? Is the theme, can you feel the theme throughout? Are you hitting all of your different acts properly in the proper amount of time? So a reading is a really, really great way to do that. So I've had a couple of readings on that. And so, yeah, I'm just working out the kinks on that. And then I'm also working out the kinks on another script that I'm writing, which is a biopic about Satchel Paige. So that one, and Satchel Paige is is known as one of the best baseball pitchers to ever pitch. And he was in the Negro Leagues in the 40s and 50s, and he's known as the oldest rookie ever to break into the major leagues. So his story is amazing, and it needs to be on screen because he's a phenomenal person, a phenomenal character. So I've been working on that as well. So, yeah, I'm just doing a lot of writing is actually what I'm doing.
That's cool, though. That's always good. I write,
yeah.
So I understand. That's the way that you get a lot out of you, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly when you're going through a lot in your life, the best thing to do is to write, because it's not about you. It's just it helps you focus actually away from your problems. I mean, I don't know if that's how you think about it, but it's a really good thing. I always, if someone is going through a difficult time, even if they're not a writer, write stories,
yeah.
Write anything. Even if nobody else sees it, just write. It's so important.
Exactly. Writing, and then because the other thing I do is, you know, I spent most of my career as a dancer, so dancing also helped me. But those are the two things, and I kind of flip-flop back and forth between those two versions of myself constantly.
I got to tell you, you're going to think I'm nuts, but you know your character, Evelyn, you know who that reminds me of? Emma.
Please tell me.
Then she's sort of like an Emma, like in Jane Austen, except she's not.
You know, thank you. I'll take it. I know some people might think of it as a compliment, but any literary reference, I will take it.
I mean it as a compliment. To me, Jane Austen is one of the best writers of female-oriented fiction ever.
Yes.
So to me, it is a compliment.
Thank you.
But no, I just, the way she is trying to be and the way her real life is and her inner life, and she's trying to fix everybody, and it just reminds me of Emma.
Thank you so much.
Does that sound weird?
No, and you know what? I may use that in descriptions of the character. I'm just going to put she's the Emma of the group. and hopefully people will understand what I mean. But I will absolutely use that now in descriptions of her.
I guess I should explain for those of you who don't know Jane Austen, Emma is the main character of a book called Emma. And she is basically pretty much a person who wants to think that she knows what's best for everybody around her.
Everybody.
But she's kind of innocent. She really doesn't know what the heck she's doing. And she messes everybody's lives, including her own up.
Yes. And, you know, and I think, didn't Gwyneth Paltrow play her in a movie? So I think there was a movie. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Right, right? Yeah.
She's one.
Okay.
This is the first movie, actually. That was the second movie. I saw the TV movie of it, and then I saw the movie with Gwyneth. So she was in it, and, what's his name? Jeremy Northup.
Yeah.
Was in it, who I thought was
my description always
yummy.
Is she's very good at everyone else's life but really bad at her own.
Yeah, that had a hell of a cast though, that Emma. But that's a really good and it's really funny, she plays a lot of British people, but she's born and raised in New York.
Yeah. Like not even in the state, like in New York proper.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny because if you think about all the, she did Shakespeare in Love, she did Emma, she did Mirrors, she did one of the Shakespeare's, and she's always playing English.
Yeah. Which is very rare for American actors to play English.
Yeah.
It's not for English.
English
to play.
Actors are usually
Americans. Yeah, exactly. But it's very rare for American actors to play English.
And be acceptable.
Exactly. They always I mean, part of it is they don't think we can get their accent correctly, but there's also other rules within their union, their acting unions. But yeah, it's a very real thing. I think her and oh goodness, why is her name escaping me right now? The woman who did Bridget Jones' Diary. Renee Zellweger. That's her name,
yeah.
Renee Zellweger. Yeah, so she's
really
another
good
actor
British
who
actor,
plays
Renee.
British, yeah, often as well.
I mean, poor Dick Van Dyke is still, he's in his 90s, and he's still living down how he played the character in Mary Poppins. I mean,
yeah,
I love
but now it's just
her.
Fun.
I mean, that was one of the first movies I ever saw as a child was Mary Poppins, so to me,
yeah.
all
we
I
didn't
remember,
know it was bad.
What did I know for British accents? Was this a
yeah,
cocky
we
song?
Had no idea. We just loved he was stepping in time. It was fine
exactly.
with us.
Exactly. But, yeah, the British, there's this Britcom called As Time Goes By, and in it, one of the characters are trying to explain that Americans accept things. Look at Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins, and the character Jeffrey, his name was Lionel in the show, I can't remember, but he goes, please don't remind me. I can't remember his last name. Jeffrey Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
A really wonderful British actor. But he goes, please don't remind me.
Oh, yeah, no, we loved it. We didn't care.
I thought Dick was great. And he was in the revival.
I still do, so it's... Yeah, you know the funny thing is when our DP, his name is Miles Crawford, he works with a children's theater company in Santa Monica, and I believe it was 2 years ago they did Mary Poppins, and Dick Van Dyke came to the show. And it's literally a kids' theater company of Mary Poppins. And he came to the show, and after the show, he met the kids. And not in a million years did anyone think he would be there. But I'm not sure if he was personally invited or if he just got a whiff of it because he lived somewhat in the neighborhood. But literally everyone was like, Dick Van Dyke's here, Dick Van Dyke's here. And, I mean, that's amazing. Well, who does that?
Yeah,
for a children's
that's
production.
Old school. I mean, I remember
yeah.
being a little girl and waiting in line to see The Amazing Dalmatians, and Fred Astaire was in it, and Fred Astaire was in line with us to see it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
With everybody. No, you know, this was before people went around with security. He was all by himself. He just came to see the movie.
That's crazy. That's wonderful.
But a lot of actors now sneak in the back to see it with an audience. But I have respect for somebody like Dick Van Dyke who will come see a play or a movie, just goes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I adore him, so. I can't think of anybody who doesn't adore Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, I mean, I think just for so many people for so long, in some form, he has touched, you know, everyone through his wonderful entertainment. Like, he's a treasure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the funniest thing, Emily Blunt was on an interview show about doing Mary Poppins Returns, and someone said, was that really Dick Van Dyke dancing? And I can't remember the name of the actor who's playing the modern Bert. I can't remember. But he was in
Oh, yeah,
Lin-Manuel
Miranda.
Hamilton. Yes.
Yeah, yes. Lin-Manuel Miranda, yeah.
Yeah, and he says, are you kidding? We couldn't stop the man from dancing.
Yeah,
he said he
amazing.
Outdanced everybody.
Well, getting back to the story with the kids and my friend and the show, he then sang, I believe, you know, please excuse me if I'm wrong, but I believe he sang Let's Go Fly a Kite with the kids during the talk back with the kids. Yeah, I believe that's the story.
Oh,
that, like, after
that's
he's
amazing.
Like, let's sing this song together, which, you know, how many people get to do that?
Nobody. I mean, not much. Not yeah. Very few people. That's an honor, you
right.
guys.
Exactly.
Sadly, we're coming to the end. I want to thank you. I know you're really busy for taking the time coming on the show and chatting with me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me again. It's always such a pleasure. I was so excited to just talk to you again and to just tell you about what the new things are happening.
It's so cool. So please, first of all, check out Sidetracked. What's your website so they can see the original 8 episodes?
It's sidetrackedtheseries.com. And that's also all of us on Instagram and Facebook, Sidetracked the Series. It's all one word. So you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and we have the website, sidetrackedtheseries.com. And then Seed and Spark campaign is just Sidetracked.
Okay. And for anybody who'd like to say hi to you, could you give your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or any of those?
Yeah, so my Facebook is Donisha Brown. That's what the D and E-D Brown stands for. It's Donisha Brown, D-O-N-I-S-H-A Brown. And actually the best way to get in touch with me is just go to my website, which is E-Donisha Brown, E-D-O-N-I-S-H-A Brown.com. And there's a contact section of that, and you can just contact me through that. That's the quickest and easiest way.
Cool. And so are you said you're on Instagram and are you on Twitter and Facebook too?
Not on Twitter and Facebook. It's Donisha Brown, and I'm actually not on Instagram as myself. It's just the show Sidetracked the Series.
Okay. So if you would like to look into that, go to Instagram for Sidetracked or check out our website. And please donate.
And I'm the person who manages that, so you'll be talking to me. So you can, if you have a question directly for me, you can do it through Instagram at Sidetracked the Series.
Okay, you got that, you guys. If you heard that right here on this show, you got direct contact with the lady.
Literally, I manage it. DM me, whatever you want. I get back to you right away.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I think this was such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.